When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we're talking about murder and improvisational comedy. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
It's Apathetic Enthusiasm coming to you live from twitch.tv/apathetic enthusiasm over on the Twitch streaming service, where you can listen to people talk, play video games, do other things like talk, play music.
ASMR.
Yes, ASMR. This show brought to you by Twitch.
Ooh, they're a sponsor now?
They are. If we will it into existence.
Yay. Thanks, Twitch, for sponsoring this episode. Hi, everybody. I'm Travis. He's Brandon. We're back. It's another AE week, just like you all hoped it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're new to the show, thanks for checking us out. You can find us on Twitter over at Apathusiast. I am at Joe Gomino. He is at Barnyard Cruise. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm show. Or you can send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. You know, Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Send us your questions about dating advice, and we'll be sure to cover that in our next dating advice episode.
Is that what our next episode is going to be on this?
I don't know. I'm just going to throw a bunch of calls to action in and see if anything sticks.
Here's our problem with calls to action, everybody who's listening. Is we make jokes about calls to action or material for a follow-on episode, and then we forget it when it comes time.
Yeah,
Sunday.
I literally have a notebook here for taking notes when we do this show,
because we were gonna do a interdimensional RSS episode, and we made jokes about actually having content for the next two episodes at least.
Wait, did we?
Yeah. And I don't remember what that content was.
Huh.
And for Rick and Morty, also, I want to be prepared coming into it. Not like this show, right? Where there's really no harm, no foul if we come in unprepared. But for that, I want to at least be able to have a conversation, an informed conversation, put some notes in there and outline that stuff. But when it's like Monday,
there's a point when I definitely could have gone back and listened to last week's episode and figured that out. But here we are.
Here we are.
All right. So send us your love advice questions. We'll be sure to have our love experts answer those on the next episode. You can follow us on Instagram. Instagram is apathetic_enthusiasm, where you can see a photo of our very first attempts at video versions of the podcast right there on our Instagram. Also, all of our podcasts available at apatheticenthusiasm.com. As Brandon mentioned, who are you? as Brandon mentioned, we are streaming on Twitch, which is now the latest version of our video episodes. Also over on youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thank you to everybody that's subscribed over there. We're on TeePublic. Go to apatheticenthusiasm.com/shop, get a t-shirt, or go to our Patreon, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Support the show directly. Thank you for being awesome, which you certainly are. Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are you? You seem like you're working. You seem like you're busy.
Yeah. I'm preparing. I'm preparing mid-show.
You're prepping the episode
while you're doing that.
5 minutes in, you're like, I've heard our social media links. All right, I'm gonna explain to you a problem while you half listen to the situation.
Okay.
So I did. We got a bunch of snow.
Okay.
Where I live, and this city. Wait, where did you go? Yuck. Now he just your default. He just left. Okay. All right, go ahead. Got a bunch of snow. I was snowed in for a few days because my city doesn't really prepare for winter weather. And I decided, hey, I'm going to be working from home. I'm going to clean up the work area, clean up the workspace, which is also where I podcast from. And I did a thing where I moved my monitors around, which feels like a better setup.
Yeah.
But my webcam is moved on the monitor, which is really weird because I used to have it right over our Zoom window.
Yeah.
So I could look at you in the Zoom window.
So it almost looks like we're talking directly.
And it's like, it's like I'm making good eye contact. It feels like the eyes are in the right spot. But now that's moved, and I can't really... If I look at you, I'm kind of looking away from the camera.
Yeah.
So, and there's another you over here, which is... But really, what's centered in the camera right now is me. So, welcome to the Narcissism Enthusiasm Podcast, where I have to look at myself for an hour in order to create the illusion of connection
over
the internet.
Well, the way I have my Zoom window set up, I have the webcam directly in the middle of the monitor, and then right below that, I have you on one side, and I have myself on the other. That way, when I'm talking to you, I'm looking at you. But also periodically, I look at myself to see if I'm looking stupid, or
and you're like, "Am I looking stupid?" Yes, continue.
Continue. And what happens a lot most of the time when I look at myself, I wear a lot of t-shirts, and some of the t-shirts the collars kind of ride down a little bit, and I don't like seeing my clavicle.
Okay. Weird.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Because I have like a mole on one of these things. But
what are you doing? Flashing them clavs.
it gets a little low on some of my shirts, and so then I adjust my shirt and I pull it back, and I'm like, good, I'm good, I'm
good. You just check the shirt adjustment.
Couple minutes later, that collar is slicking down.
That clav again. Is back.
That clav.
Return of the clav.
So, but yeah, no, generally I am narcissistic. Like the entire time I was talking to you right there, I was looking at myself.
That's weird.
But you know, I'm much more handsome. Works.
Whatever. No arguments for me. No arguments. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for watching. That's been our show. We have topics to discuss. What's going on, Brandon? How you doing? When are you going to send me that running plan?
I sent it to you.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah. Look, well, I sent it to you on Messenger. Maybe it didn't send on Messenger. I'll try again in a little bit, but... okay,
that's fine.
Yeah, I went to the Nike Plus app, Nike Run app.
I saw, I'll send it to you when I get home, and then let's go, and a picture of Oh Yeah by Yellow.
Yeah.
Or by Stella.
Yeah. Well, I think the album's name is Stella.
Okay. Yellow is the band? I don't know.
Yellow is the band. Oh Yeah is the song. And I think that's it. I think that's And Stella is the album name. I wonder if there are any other songs on that album like Oh No. Ciao, ciao. Chakawaka. Chakawaka.
Oh No.
Oh dear gosh. All right. So I'm going to send this back to you. Check out the NRC training plan half marathon, Nike running .app.link.
And half, then half marathon?
Yeah. It's a half marathon plan. But I mean, half marathon is only 5 more miles than a 10K.
But you know they have actual 10K plans, right?
Yeah, well, I didn't find that. So just doing
so I just want plan. Okay, I want you to be clear as 100% of our podcast that's run a half marathon. I've done that plan more than once.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to get intense. Just, I want you to understand that. And I'm excited to take this journey with you.
No, that's fine. Cause I have run a half marathon, but the last time I ran a half marathon was in Hawaii and I didn't run the entire thing. I ran it and then I got to maybe like mile 7 and then I started walking. And
you ran a half marathon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good on you. Yeah. Good for you.
I would love to run a full marathon if we're being honest.
Sameies.
Love, maybe that's a
love,
strong word.
Love strong. 2023, the year we run full marathons.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
And I'm getting to the point now again where I like running on my own. I'm not doing it to pass a test. I just want to do it because I kind of, I don't know if I enjoy it. I guess I do kind of.
The more you do it, I feel like the more you enjoy it. This moment feels very much team fight tactics to me, where it's like, hey, let's play TFT. And then the next thing I know, I'm playing a game of League of Legends with you. it's sort of like that. Hey, let's do a 10K running plan. And the next thing I know, I've signed up to run 10 miles in one go, 14 weeks from now. So, it's going to be great. Can't wait.
Yeah. But, the thing with the half marathon plan, the training plan, in my head, I was like, yeah, I want to do this 10K in December. The sign up is in May. I know a half marathon is more miles than a 10K. But I figured I shouldn't just shoot for just a 10K to stop there. I feel like I should run more than that.
You will.
I know.
Because by week 7, you'll be running a 10K several times a week.
Perfect. Because then so I can get, then
you'll
I can get
be ready.
Faster.
You'll be ready. Plus, man, my legs are already sore thinking about this. I can't wait. It's going to be great. I'm going to break in new shoes, the whole deal.
My shins already just so inflamed, but ready to go.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait. Okay, so you heard it here. We're running a lot over the next 14 weeks, so stay tuned for that. Quick bit of news to report following up on a story that we've been following for the last 2.5 weeks at least. If you've been paying attention on the podcast, Brandon was trying to figure out how long it would be before he got COVID. And what do you know? The over under 2.5 weeks. If you took the over on that, congratulations, because 3 weeks have officially passed. And Brandon, how are you feeling?
Woo! No COVID in sight. Not in this household. Woo! Woo!
Congratulations, Brandon.
Thanks, way man. Thanks.
Way to avoid that pandemic just a little bit longer.
I'll be honest. I forgot about that because when I hit that 2.5 weeks, I'm like, hey, Chelsea, I did it. I won the bet. She said, what bet? Like the COVID bet with me and Travis. She's like, oh, really cool. What did we win? Cool points.
cool points.
I was
add this to the pride bank.
I wasn't going to bring it up. I wasn't going to bring it up with you. But I'm glad you did, because it takes a big, big man to admit when he loses a bet.
Yeah. I mean, especially when the bet had zero stakes and it was just a random amount of time that I threw out there for in the middle of an Omicron spike. So, you know, yeah, not a problem. I can live with this loss. I'm glad you didn't get COVID. I'm happy about it.
So. Yeah. And Omicron is plateauing. So it's fine. There's never going to be any other variants. I'm in the clear now.
Yep. You heard it here on the Joe Rogan Experience. COVID is over.
Now what's the over-under on the next 2 weeks as I just start going to like monster truck shows and stuff like
that. Yeah, licking handrails and everything like that. All right. Well, while you were busy not getting COVID, some new shows came out on various streaming networks. And the first one that we wanted to talk about was a new show on Netflix, just recently released, called Murderville. Mm-hmm. How did you discover Murderville, Brandon?
Murderville was a show. Actually, Matt Sizemore of KIVI and Rounding the Bases for a little bit longer posted something on Twitter about this Murderville and saying it was hilarious. And it was Friday night, and I don't know what was going on. We didn't really have a show to watch. And, you know, I think we might have watched Peacemaker. The first episode of that show, a little raunchy for the 10-year-old's taste, and Chelsea's taste, and so it was like, well, what else is there to watch? And I remember Matt's tweet, and I said, all right, well, let me go look this up. It sounds interesting, and I thought because it sounded Terry Seattle is Will Arnett's character's name in the show,
yes,
and that sounded a lot like there was a show on NBC it was closer to like a Naked Gun type show, but her name, the actress's name, was like a city name. It's gonna piss me off. I want to look it up when it's your turn.
When I'm talking, when you don't have to listen to me.
Yeah. But anyway, so I thought it was going to be more like Naked Gun-ish. And so I put it on. And quickly realized that it wasn't Naked Gun-ish at all. And like, oh, okay, cool. In the first episode, it has Conan O'Brien. I'm like, well, this is a really cool, interesting premise. And so, the kid loved it. Chelsea loved it. And then we ended up finishing it last night, which was Sunday night. What about you?
Only 6 episodes. So pretty easily digestible. I think they're only like half hour episodes as it is too, so very, very bingeable. In about three or four hours you can get through most of the content. That premise that you're talking about, really, really unique in the idea that this is a crime drama-esque parody, right? So it's Will Arnett is senior detective Terry Seattle, and every episode has a murder that they are investigating and they need to solve. But there's a guest star in each episode that is playing the role of Terry Seattle's training partner. And that guest star has no script. They are not in on the joke on the show, right? I mean, they're in on the joke for the most part, right? But so they are playing out a story. But this guest is breaking the fourth wall a lot, and it's a little meta in that way, where they're having them improv their way through it, and as part of the plot of the show is this guest also has to solve the crime. So they're putting them into these situations, interviewing different suspects, giving them clues, and then the end of each episode is this guest star trying to make a determination on who the guilty person is. So I think as a premise, 5 stars. Just such a great idea for a show, and so different than what some of the things that we've seen before, that I thought that aspect of it was great all on its own.
Very, very, very successful premise. Very cool premise. And bringing in people, not just comedians, but the actors, NFL players, to varying degrees of success. So even if some are better than others, just the thought of having them come in and not knowing what's going on. And essentially what we ended up, Chelsea and I likened it to eventually, was like a dinner murder party, right? It's a comedy dinner murder party. And which if you've never been to one, you go to this party, you're given your characters, somebody dies, and you go around trying to solve this murder. And it's really cool. Also, if you've been to an escape room, there's escape room aspects to, like, there's clues. You're trying to figure out what the mystery is. And then, you know, instead of getting out of the room, they have to solve the murder. Got, so in that way, like, I thought that was really cool. It is based off of a British show called Success in Murderville, or Murder in Successville.
Murder in Successville. Yes.
Yeah. 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 And my first thought on that was, oh, of course the UK folks made something so cool. And then the US stole it and then watered it down in its own way. But yeah, I was excited. Like, it was exciting enough seeing that Conan episode to jump into the following episodes. I talked about varying degrees of success. Marshawn Lynch was on the second episode. Ken Jeong was in the finale. Sharon Stone was in there. Kumail Nanjiani. And then the one girl from Schitt's Creek. Forget.
Yeah. I'm going to find it. Nope, not her.
Aaron
Annie Murphy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Annie Murphy. Annie Murphy. And yeah, some of the
Alexa.
Folks. Some of those folks did better than others. What did you think of the different personalities and the way they handled the situations?
I think it's interesting. This aspect of it almost feels game show-ish. And there are some people that are there to play the game, right? They're there to get the clues. They're paying attention. They're locked in to each scenario, and maybe they're playing it a little bit more straight. And then there are other guests who are like actors, especially the comedians, who are like, "Hey, this is a comedy. I'm gonna ham it up. I'm here for some laughs, and I'll still pay attention. Maybe I'll figure out who the killer is. Maybe I won't, but we're just going to have fun. We're gonna have a good time." So in the case of Annie Murphy, right, from Schitt's Creek, she definitely seemed more focused on the game part of it and solving the crime. And so in terms of an improviser, some of those scenes were not as funny to me, because she was more kind of like in shock of like, okay, what's happening? What do I do? Try to respond. The scene where she goes undercover, I thought was pretty funny. But mostly cause you know, she was just cracking up at all the things that, Will Arnett was feeding her.
The scene where she's interviewing the suspect, each episode, the actors get three suspects to interview.
Yeah.
And then finally come back at the end and then to tell Will Arnett who they think the killer is. But so the first person Annie Murphy was interviewing was a chef. And so part of the comedy is they make the actors do silly shit as they're trying to get answers out of there, which I think is cool because it distracts them. And gets, yes, it doesn't let them focus on the clues that they need sometimes, right? Because yeah, as we're watching, I think it eventually, as you roll through the series, you start to like focus on, okay, that's a clue, that's a clue. Okay, yeah, okay. Obviously, it's not this person because of this. It's either this person or this person. It's probably this person because yeah. Okay, but so
before you move on from that, I want to like the aspect of playing along at home. Also very present in this show because Sheena was locked in the whole time. Like, oh, I think it's this. I think it's oh, it's definitely that person. And there were certain episodes where I was like, I wasn't even paying attention to that because I just thought Kumail was being funny. but definitely a good play along aspect to that. But with those distractions, some of the actors get, you know, a little.
Yeah. Yeah. So for example, Annie Murphy is helping the chef make first macarons. And then Will Arnett is also doing his best to distract her.
Yes.
And she seems legitimately annoyed because she's like, I need to ask her questions. I haven't heard a single answer. And then there's like some soup that the chef is making. And the chef is like, just stir the soup. I don't want him to do it. I want you to do it. And so she starts, she's about to start stirring it. Will Arnett takes the spoon and he throws it. And she's like, what are you doing? Why aren't you stirring? And then he's like, just use your hand. Just use your hand. It's fine. It's fine. Just use your hand. So she starts stirring with her hand. And then he calls her out. He's like, why are you using your hand, Annie? Disgusting. Get your hand out of the vicioso.
Disgusting. This show works on a lot of really cool different levels. It could be very episodic and feel disjointed episode to episode, where you could just have crazy premises that don't seem tied together at all, but they actually managed to have a more overarching mystery run throughout all six episodes. There are very apparent bits or inside jokes that come up throughout the different episodes, whether that's Tommy Toon or like just different things they keep referencing. There's a moment where one of the guests in like the fifth or sixth episode has to read a list of a list of random words. And those random words all reference things that happened in other cases earlier in the season. But for that guest, I don't think that has any, you know, frame of reference. But for the viewer, it's really cool. So a lot of that I really appreciate with the show. I think it would be great if it gets picked up for additional seasons and can continue. Mm-hmm. But even if this was just like a six episode run, I think it's great on its own, but I think they could very easily continue to write seasons and get more guests on in the future.
Yeah, I want to say one thing about the through line mystery of the six episodes. The mystery there is what happened to Terry Seattle's old partner. His old partner was murdered, and he hasn't solved the mystery. I think that's cool to have that throughout the series, throughout the season. But I almost wish, especially in this age of binging stuff, right? I almost wish that was a mystery in itself for the viewer to compile over the season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And also, I would have liked it to be then Will Arnett's turn to do improv finding out the mystery, right?
Oh, that would have been a fun spin.
Yeah. Like he throughout the season, there the writers know who killed her, but he doesn't know, and so he has to piece things together throughout some of these situations too.
Yeah, that could be funny, having him, you know, off his guard a little bit or something, or having to think back to some of those things. I have to credit Will Arnett. I mean, obviously he's hilarious, has been for a very long time, but the way he interacts with the guests on this show and the way he just like is so absurd with the character that he plays and the way he elevates the craziness in some of the scenes, it's just fantastic. It really does help support the guest, and I think sometimes make them feel a little bit more comfortable with the situation that's going on, with how, like, yeah, it's okay to ham it up and be wild, right? And even just like the interview that they do at the beginning of the episodes with the new trainee is like a really kind of like
easy icebreaker
improv game to kind of be like, all right, let's feel out this relationship really like they would with a real, you know, partner, you know, meeting a new partner. But it's a good way for them to start to sort of set the stage and feel out how the show is going to go. So I don't know. I don't have really anything negative to say that I can think of. Did you have any issues with the show?
No, I didn't have any. I think that, going back to this, the premise is great, and I think Will Arnett is great. He does a good job of distracting and also keeping them focused on the prize.
Yeah,
he is kind of antagonistic, trying to create this kind of chaos and this funny situation while at the same time, the people, the suspects are giving clues. And so I think that that's really cool. As a viewer, you see that. If you put yourself in the shoes of the actress or actor or sports ball player, you have to, like, I have to always take myself back and be like, they probably didn't catch that because so much other crap is going on at the same
Absolutely.
Time. We see it as a viewer because the camera catches it. They don't see it necessarily.
And they do a good job of throwing in misdirects and clues that could mean one thing, but, you know, are negated by other aspects and things like that. So six episodes so far. Let's go through the guests one more time. We had Conan O'Brien. We had Marshawn Lynch. Then Kumail Nanjiani, Annie Murphy, Sharon Stone, and Ken Jeong. Do you have a favorite trainee detective from those six episodes?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll be honest. I think I liked Marshawn. I put him at towards the top. Yeah, because he's an NFL player, right?
Yeah,
and he's not an actor. He's not an actress. He's not a comedian. He's
just a crazy dude.
He's just a crazy dude. And some of the shit he said, we cracked up. There's the first time the first suspect they're interviewing, and Marshawn because it's improv for them. Sometimes it would like lean over and be like, yeah, should we be asking him questions? And Will Arnett's whispering back, yeah, well, yeah, we've got him right here. We should be answering. And the suspect's like, I can hear you. He said, he said something like, well, then fucking stop. Stop listening or whatever.
Yeah. And that was my oldest favorite as well. And she didn't know who Marshawn Lynch was. She didn't know that he was a football player, former NFL star. She just really liked him. And so I thought that was, I thought that was pretty cool. His episode was hilarious. But I think for me, Kumail, like, I just, his, for starters, I really like Kumail Nanjiani, but the way, some of the interaction and some of the, like, stupid stuff and the way he responded and would repeatedly just handle the situations that he was in, playing along, but also, like, laughing at the system as well. I just had me in stitches. I was cracking up.
I gotta admit, I do like Kumail, but the first half of that episode, Chelsea and I kind of looked at each other and think, come on, more yes and. You're
yeah,
a comedian.
Yeah, he was not following the first rule. Yeah.
they asked him about his high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
And that became the running joke of who his high school sweetheart was. And he's like, I don't feel comfortable saying that. Like,
yeah.
And
which he could have easily just made up a name.
Just make up a name, man.
Yeah.
Just pick.
Yeah. I don't know. I think breaking some of those rules, like those improv rules, is also funny if done the right way. So I don't know. It's the
best part of that episode was when they're looking at the meditation stuff and talking about her inner voice, and he had Will Arnett do his inner voice. And Will Arnett did a voice. He's like, well, make it more Pakistani, but not racist. Pakistani, but not racist. And Will Arnett did the perfect job of speaking in a British accent, being like, I was born in Pakistan, immigrated to the UK and when I was 3 years old.
When I was 3 years old. Yep.
And like, bravo. Bravo. Yeah.
That's, well done.
Way to walk that line.
Bottom line, I think we both recommend this show for anyone. If you have not already given it a watch, it's available on Netflix right now. Six episodes. Check it out. Murderville. Hopefully further seasons will be available at a later date. I will probably go see if there's a place I can stream Murder in Successville now.
Chelsea's looked. Can't find it yet.
We got people like Jimmy Carr.
We haven't looked on Gordon Ramsay unofficial sites yet.
So I watched a British game show for a while, which was on, I think it was on Hulu or something, but it's called Taskmaster. Have we talked about Taskmaster on the show?
We may have, and it sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's basically there is a British host and his like sidekick, and then I think it's usually four British comedians, and they all have these random tasks that they have to complete, right? So the show, the format of the show is it takes place on a stage, and they're going back, they're doing intros into clips of the four contestants at a house or somewhere out and about fulfilling these tasks, right? And then they get points for how well they complete the task, and at the end of the season they win a prize or whatever, right? And then there's usually like a final task that takes place in person on stage. But the show is hilarious. The premises are hilarious. And some of the tasks are really simple, but they have just like a bizarre twist to them or things like that. Anyway, all of this to say, terrific show. If you haven't seen Taskmaster, I recommend it. But there was a lot of it that I ended up having to watch on YouTube. Mm. Like, I think like the first six seasons or something are all available for free on YouTube if you search for Taskmaster. So I don't know. I'm not saying Murder and Successful is over there. That's not the case. But
not saying that. Not saying that at all.
I'm not saying it's not. It goes to YouTube.com.
Yeah, and make sure you check out Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Yeah, for sure.
Also, yeah, well, that's cool. I feel like you've talked to me about Taskmaster before, and it sounds
probably
like
done an episode
show
on it. Yeah. Murder and Successful season 1 episode 1 is definitely there's definitely episodes of the show on YouTube. Okay. Whether or not they're there legally, no idea. But they are there.
Don't watch it illegally. That's your
Scott
scolding.
Many of thousands of views. I don't know if that matters either. But
by the way, the show I was thinking of a long time ago was Angie Tribeca with Rashida Jones.
Okay.
Which was great, great, great little show.
Yeah. I never saw it.
It's good. Oh, we should do a rewatch. No, just kidding. We don't have to. It's a good show.
Remember when they did Netflix rewatches?
I do. You want to do some more of those?
I don't know. I got time.
Can. RoboCop.
Is RoboCop on Netflix?
I think it might be.
But
you've seen RoboCop anyway. It doesn't matter. But What I was going to say. Speaking of watching things.
Stop
the presses.
Jeez. I don't appreciate how Netflix, when I try to open it, it immediately starts playing a trailer for some rom-com that my wife has been watching.
Hate it. Oh, I hate that. Hate that. Anyway, I do want to do a little shout out talking about watching things that we've watched before. I was on a podcast last week, Hit Me One More Time, with this guy, David Luzader, and his friend Nick. And basically what it is they have people on their show and they talk about just things from their youth, things that they watched in their youth, and reassess them. Sometimes David and Nick haven't watched those movies or shows before. And then they kind of judge it from a new perspective.
Sure.
And the person on the show is talking about from being there, having it from being from a kid. So the first time I was on the show ever, we talked about Total Recall. They hadn't seen Total Recall before, and ever since, now Nick told me that he loves that movie, and he got his wife into that movie, and now they watch it multiple times. Like, cool, I got it. That's not what the episode was last week. I was on there. We talked about the MTV's The State, which full of some of my favorite people ever. Thomas Lennon, Ken Marino, Michael Ian Black, David Wayne, Ben Mike Grant. So many folks. Jolo Truglio from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. All these guys. All of them, Travis.
All of them. Loves them all.
It's on Paramount Plus, the show is. And so I had them watch 2 or 3 episodes. I watched a few episodes with my kid, Chelsea, and it was fun. I loved going back and watching some of those skits. It's a show from 93, 94. So some of it's kind of dated, but some of the absurdity it still holds funny for me. But anyways, don't let me spoil the episode for you, fair listener. Go out to hit me one more pod on Twitter and hit me one more time.com. That episode should be out tomorrow, basically the same time as this. Yeah. So
check it out.
Check.
Maybe I'll listen to it.
Maybe you will. Maybe.
Did you watch Kids in the Hall?
I never watched Kids in the Hall. It wasn't on any of the channels that I watched.
Yeah. So I think that's where our obscure sketch comedies history diverges. Mm. Right. You were the state kid and I was watching Kids in the Hall, a bunch of Canadian men in dresses,
yeah.
Crushing each other's heads and things like that. So I loved that show growing up. So
yeah. Oh man, we didn't even mention Kids in the Hall. The show, I didn't mention Kids in the Hall at all during that show, but I mentioned SNL. I mentioned Mad TV.
Sure.
Because that was that same time. Anyways, go check that out. Also check out, I had my Uno tournament. Well, not me. Dr. Strike had his Uno tournament not this last weekend, the weekend before, with old Dean DeFalco from our Geekade friends. For the Electronic Coliseum Championship. Oh,
brother.
We played for 3 or 4 hours.
Wow. That's a lot of Uno.
It is a lot of Uno. And I was in the lead for a long time. And then Dean, who hadn't won a single game, all of a sudden won all the games in a row and took the whole thing. And that just goes to show you the luck of Uno, luck of the draw, holding on to that draw to the last minute.
Yeah, it's important.
Yeah. So we're,
you got to know when to skip them, know when to reverse them,
know when to stack them. The stacking rules were on. So you could draw 2 on a top draw, draw 2.
Mm. Mm.
Draw
bold,
4
bold,
on top of
bold
draw.
Choice. Bold choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you play with the stacking rule in your own home?
I don't know. No, I tend not to. Do you do the rule where you keep pulling cards until you get one that you can use?
No, very clearly in the Uno rule book, it states that you draw 1 card, and if you can play it, you may. Otherwise, play continues.
Mm, well, house rules were abound here on our Electric Coliseum Championship tournament. We had stacking. We had draw till you play the most cards anyone held in their hand at one time, 20 cards.
My gosh! Wow, that's something. Something, all right.
And that person lost.
Yeah. You think?
Yeah. We're playing again on the 26th of February. So keep an eye out for that over on Twitch. You can watch me lose again.
Go watch play Uno again.
Yeah.
What else is happening? What else we watching? What else we doing?
Have you seen anything good lately? I mean, other than Murderville, obviously.
I mean, obviously Murderville. I don't think you're in on the Ozark train, are you?
No. I watched like 2 or 3 of the first episode, first season, and it was, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just like too dark and I wasn't super interested in it.
Yeah. We caught up on Ozark, the final season, part 1. So it is the final season of the show, but they're releasing it in 2 parts. So I think the first 6 or 7 episodes are already released. We watched those. Show is still super dark. depressing at times, very unlikable characters, and can't stop watching. So, yeah, can't wait to see what Ruth gets up to in part two of the final season. But we did watch that. And then while disorienting myself in my office by moving my monitors around, I have finally reached a point in my multiple attempts to watch animated Star Wars lore that I have gotten over the hump, I would say, of the midpoint of season two, where I feel like I am invested in the show enough now where I think I have the potential to continue watching it. There are some interesting storylines, the introduction of some interesting characters, and plots that feel like more than just random battle that took place during the Clone Wars that is filling time between movies. There's some interesting stuff happening right now with Mandalore, and it's introducing some characters there. And realistically, all of this is just because of all of the tie-ins to all of the live action Star Wars that's happening now on Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, soon to be this Obi-Wan. I can't talk anymore.
Obi-Wan show.
Ahsoka show coming out. It's all there. It's all happening. So I gotta figure out who these people are.
Yeah, you do. You certainly do, because there's a lot of information. And a lot of information that's going into Book of Boba Fett and in Mandalorian season three eventually. No, I mean, it's cool. I know
you read all that information and you're all spun up on it and you don't care because you're better than me.
Look, you read actual books, you watch actual shows, and I like to experience a lot of information on a very surface level just to have it as a reference for later. So I can say, have you met Ezra yet? And I know very basic stuff about him, and you know nothing about him.
And here's the difference is, even if I had, I probably forgot their name and don't know. So I'm like, is that the Mandalorian dude? Is that
Bo-Katan?
Bo-Katan.
Yeah. You know Bo-Katan. She's the female Mandalorian. Starbuck.
Starbuck.
From Battlestar Galactica. Yeah.
You know, I only got to see the first season of that show, and then I never kept watching it.
Oh man, you should read about it, because it's a good
Wikipedia read.
that was a good show too. Battlestar Galactica was, and I don't necessarily like how the show ended, but it was an okay ending. It wasn't a great ending, but it was an
you know what happened with Battlestar is I watched that show like when I was out of town for work, and I came back and I was like, this is really good, I should watch this with Sheena. And then she was like, never interested, never wanted to even give it a chance. So I just never watched the rest of it.
Yeah, you watch The Bachelorette.
I don't, but that's probably what she's doing right now.
I think
did I tell you about the bet? Not even a bet, but like the challenge, the agreement that I had with my wife.
No, I don't think you have. Please tell me.
She was watching a commercial or something for, I think it's the last season of This Is Us on NBC.
Oh gosh. Uh-huh.
The multi-generational family drama that has taken the world by storm.
I thought it was done, if we're being honest. I thought it was over, because they're like, okay, now we know how the dad died. That was the major
mystery. Was like season two, bro. And the thing is, he's still on the show because the show, the mechanics of the show, it's always flashing back and forward through different periods of the family's life. And so that's always been the case. Like, the adult children are played by this group of actors, but then there's the kid versions of them, like, played by these other actors. And but like, the mom is always Mandy Moore, so like, they just put makeup on her to make her older in present day and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, Sheena loves it. She's all about it. And I've seen some episodes. I get it, but I've never been like, yes, I'll watch this show with you. She's like, Travis, if he, this is not how she talks. She's like, Travis.
Travis.
If you watch the show, I think you would like it if you just gave it a chance. And I said, bet. You watch all of Mandalorian, and I'll watch This Is Us. It's a deal. She's like, there's more seasons of This Is Us than Mandalorian. Okay. That's fine. Put your money where your mouth is. And let's go to a galaxy far, far away. A long, long time ago.
How many episodes is she into The Mandalorian?
Zero.
She wants you to spend time.
This Is Us. I will never see this.
She won't do it, huh? The kid and I watched an episode of Book of Boba Fett. We were interested enough to watch more episodes, but I thought maybe we watch it with Chelsea. And I said, hey, Chelsea, you want to watch this? And she said, no. I said, all right. She hasn't watched it. That's fine. It's fine.
You've watched one episode so far of Boba Fett?
Yeah.
Now's the time. Now's the time. I think this season finale this week, right?
Yeah. The illustrious return of the titular character of this show is coming back.
You think he's going to be in the last episode?
If he's not, then I'm going to complain more. I'm going to complain more about something I've only seen an episode of, which we can talk about that. We can talk about how I'm complaining about a show that I've only watched an episode of, and there's seven episodes total, six episodes out.
The worst thing about that is I feel like the episodes get worse before they get better. And so the fact that you've only seen one episode and you're complaining about it is like, just wait, man. Just wait.
Well, so my first of all, I would say my complaint about the series is not a matter of quality that I'm complaining about. It's a much more just kind of philosophical, didactic kind of argument about the nature of having a standalone season of a show that has the character in the title, and then it completely drops and doesn't care about that character anymore for two whole episodes out of seven. Only seven episodes is the season, and they go into a different direction. And you can correct me anytime you're wrong, because again, I haven't seen it. But yeah. He's not in the episodes except for like a very, very brief moment from what I'm told. It doesn't focus on him. It switches to focusing on the Mandalorian, Jin Jar Jin or whatever. Then Luke and Yoda, not Yoda, baby Yoda.
Grogu. Spoilers.
They're there. And
yeah,
like to the early episodes credit, critiques aside from the Twitter sphere, it is at least about Boba Fett and his attempt at wrestling control of the underworld from the powers that be and starting some threads about war, which we're going to assume is going to be in the finale. And then a rancor pet, all that type of stuff.
Yeah, which kind of shows up and then we move away from it pretty abruptly. It's mentioned.
So the quality of the show for the Boba Fett stuff, okay, whatever, but it is at least about his path, about his character development. And then And then it goes to not about his character development. It goes to different focus. And so just from a cohesive story standpoint, if you were considering it as like one book or like one piece of media, holistic media, there is a part that, like, it's Casino Planet in Last Jedi. It doesn't have anything really thematically, maybe a little bit. Okay, we can make that argument, but it's an aside that is not necessary for the story of Boba Fett.
I am going to withhold
until you see the finale.
That wholehearted agreement until I see the finale.
Okay. That's true.
Because what development Boba Fett has had through the series so far and the parallel storyline that's happening with Mando could come together in a meaningful way in the finale. Or it could just be, hey, let's build a bunch of hype for what is to come in another Mandalorian season by showing a couple episodes in Book of Boba Fett about what's going on. Amazing Mandalorian episodes, by the way. They're just not Boba Fett episodes. So,
like, I'm good with the idea that, like, I saw on Twitter somebody who's a fan of, they're like, saying all the critics about how it's an episode of two episodes of The Mandalorian versus Book of Boba Fett. They're like, well, you know, think about all the people that Boba has influenced over his life, his existence, Luke, the Mandalorian, Fennec Shand, and the sheriff, whatever, who gets taken out, but stuff like that, right? And I'm like, okay, I can see that, but I'm also look back at other ensemble television shows that have flashbacks, that have other characters that build into a story arc that build together towards the finale. And all the stuff with The Mandalorian, that, you know, you could have included that within, interspersed through episodes through six.
It didn't have to feel like standalone episodes.
Yeah, exactly. And then they're tied together, right? Now the DNA is there. They're the same show because there's DNA there with editing and what have you. And then if episode seven it brings them all together, then boom, like, that's expectation. But the way it's presented is like oh, look, we surprised you. We've got an look who it is. It's the Mandalorian.
Yeah. And I don't know if we mentioned this, we talked about this, I think, in texting throughout the week, but if the Book of Boba Fett had a subtitle, like a Mandalorian series or like, you know, something like that, maybe that would have gotten a pass. Like if it was tied in nature to being a Mandalorian series or something like that. But now, it's not.
hasn't done that. Yeah. But there, somebody had said that they're talking about how it is a Mandalorian offshoot, a spinoff to a certain extent. Like, Kathleen Kennedy came out like at the very start and was like, the Mandalorian Book of Boba Fett's going to come out. She said that in like an announcement, right? Some other people have said things in announcements, and like, and the person uses that as proof to be like, well, see, it is a Mandalorian show. But the thing is, the average person, average viewer, my dad or, you know, Sheena, they're not listening to Kathleen Kennedy announcements.
What's a Boba Fett?
And so, you know, what if it's not there in the presentation, it's not there.
Yeah.
It's not there to the average viewer. So the average viewer are the people who are complaining or who have that critiques. But again,
there's good stuff. There's good stuff in the show.
Yeah.
It has some issues, but it is also kind of produced by the same crew that is responsible for a Clone Wars series. And there are some episodes there where you're like, really? Why are we doing this? What is this about? They're not all bangers, right? So giving Boba Fett time on screen and honoring the history of that character with this series, I'm all for giving more clarity and extending his life by, you know, having him emerge from the Sarlacc pit at the beginning of the show. Like, lots of cool things there. What he's doing with his life, yeah, that's up for discussion. But
let me ask you that question, Travis, before we move on, before we close out the episode. Do you think, Mandalorian episodes aside, without seeing the finale yet, do you think that this show does Boba Fett justice as a character? And why?
I may be in the minority on this, because I think it does a good job to honor the character, but it tells a different story for him. It gives more depth and substance to the character. Mind you, I have not watched all of the animated stuff in the past, so I'm not familiar with anything in animated episodes or things like that. If you just watch Star Wars movies, Boba Fett is a cool looking bounty hunter that goes out wrong, falling into Sarlacc pit in the beginning of Jedi, right? So I think this does more for that character. Like, obviously you've got the prequel stuff and origins of Boba Fett with losing his dad, and you figure out he's one of all the clones and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I don't know. I think it gives more, it gives Boba Fett, you know, a home and a family and purpose. But I'm going to reserve judgment until the finale to see if they do a good job of really closing out that story, and they may not even have any intention of closing it out. It may be that we're giving some time to develop Boba Fett on his own, because he is going to be a character that exists in the future of the Mandalorian series. And so, you know, we spent 2 seasons almost entirely on Mando. Let's take some time with Boba Fett, and then let's see how we bring all these characters forward in new seasons. So, okay. Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Yeah, I ask because Chris Randazzo, he posted, somebody posted about, like, the joke about Mandalorian, like the Scooby-Doo people taking the mask off the villain. It's this Mandalorian, right? Season 2.5. And somebody was like, problem is Boba Fett is supposed to be a badass of the galaxy. And I agree. And I agreed with that statement. And Chris asked, okay, but I agree there's problems with the show. Can we just talk about why the expectation is for him to be a big badass? And so I think for me, that's part of what I wasn't fully bought into at the start of the episode, the first episode. Because yes, he does go out like a schmuck in Return of the Jedi, but when we are introduced to him in Empire Strikes Back, he is is known as one of the most fearsome bounty hunters in the galaxy. And so to go from that and then get wiped out by a stray blaster into a Sarlacc pit, and then get jumped immediately by random assassins in Mos Espa, and get his ass kicked, quite frankly. They're very
intentional about him having lots of time in that, what is it, back the tank or whatever it's called.
With the Tusken Raiders.
Right, but he spends a lot of time. The purpose of those tanks are to heal.
Yeah.
For it, and he spends a lot of time in those tanks. And part of that is showing, like, Boba Fett's getting older. Like, he's he has been the most feared bounty hunter in the galaxy, but he's been around a long time and he's getting older, and maybe it's not time for him to just jetpack around and pew pew, right? Like, maybe it's time for him to use other aspects of who he is to assert himself. And his intent of taking over Jabba's palace and running that syndicate or whatever is part of that. Yeah. Well, there's all these critiques I keep hearing of, like, I don't understand why he would stick around on Tatooine. Like, that doesn't make sense. But I argue that his time with the Tusken Raiders is exactly why they when you watch those episodes, and I know you haven't seen some of this stuff, but that backstory with the Tusken Raiders is some of my favorite stuff from the Book of Boba Fett, because it gives him, like, reason for being there. It ties him to a group.
Yeah, it gives him reason for existing beyond bounty hunting, and humanizing him.
And he doesn't have his armor through any of that. So it's about who Boba Fett is without, you know, a set of Mandalorian armor and all these weapons. It's showing that he can be a badass without those things because of who he is, right? Does he still get jumped in that scene in Mos Eisley or whatever? Yeah, he does. It's not a good look. But it's giving others time to shine as well. So
yeah. And I'm good with all that. I think it's a matter it's the same thing with I go back to the casino planet, because I understand the purpose and the intent of why certain scenes are put into the film. Finn needs to learn that he needs to fight for something, not just for him, but for a cause. He needs to understand he needs to fight for a cause. It's not just for what's her face. He needs Rey. To fight for, yeah, Rey. he needs to fight for something larger than himself. That's the purpose of going to the casino planet in the end. Now, was it good execution? Yeah. Depends on who you ask. Some people would say no. And that's how I felt about Boba Fett. The Sand People stuff is great because it shows a different side of him. He's recovering. He's in a bad way, and he learns to interact and be a badass in other ways. What doesn't make sense to me is then he is doing stuff with this underground syndicate, that's not him. That it doesn't the Sand People stuff makes sense. He's depowered. We're to expect that he is trying to be better, but he's going about it in, like, a stupid way. Walking around with a mafia and two people to protect you in the middle of a city street after you just killed Bib Fortuna. Yeah, maybe you gotta rethink your criminal syndicate ways. That's all I'm saying. Like, yeah. the execution, yeah. I think, is a little bit lacking. But I won't stop.
How many episodes did you watch? Two?
All of one? Them. Just one. I just don't want to see the neon people with Danny Trejo. I'm worried about that. I'm worried about that episode.
Yeah. just let's just go.
It gets worse before it gets better until Mandalorian shows up, is basically what you're saying.
Yes. But with all of that said, we have a finale.
I will catch up
this Wednesday.
I will catch up.
Brandon will catch up.
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk more about it. I'm not going to talk at all because my throat, like, I can't talk anymore.
We're done. We're done, everybody. Well, thank you.
I feel bad for you, the listener.
Yeah, because you had to listen to Brandon forever.
Because I can't talk.
Talking about Boba Fett. Anyway, so I think we're gonna close this episode out. Thank you all for listening. For those in the Twitch chat, D-Squeeze, you hung out for a little
D-Squeeze,
bit.
Squeeze, you were here. Big thanks to Tied talking. Up today. And RA0684. That sounds like a bot. But thanks for following over on Twitch. Thanks. We appreciate it.
We appreciate you. And if you if you're listening to this and listening to Travis just struggle, and seriously, he should really just turn his mic off. I'll take the rest of the show.
I don't know how to do that.
Go out to Twitter at Apathusiast. Go ahead and follow us there. What do you think of The Mandalorian season 2.5? I didn't mean to say that Mandalorian, by the way. It came out. I didn't mean to.
It just felt right.
It felt right. Tell us what you thought. Think of the Book of Boba Fett going into the finale. Do you think this is a good look at the character? Do you think it's a bad look? What do you think you could approve? Or what is the best thing about it? Hit us up at Apathusiast, or I'm at Barnyard Cruise. You can send me a message directly, or Travis is at Juggle Me Now.
Yeah. Send us those love advice questions for our for our Valentine's Day.
Are we going to try to get Sheena and Chelsea on for our quad and five?
next Monday is Valentine's Day.
It is.
So either we're not going to have an episode out at the same time, or we're the type of husbands that want to celebrate a greeting card holiday by getting our wives to come on our podcast. We'll let you know next week.
Tune in next time. And I think that'll do it for this episode. Everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you for being you. And thank you for checking out Murderville.
Thank you for being a friend.
Twitch.tv. Thank you for the sponsorship. All right, we're out.
Bye.
Goodbye.
30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.